It is my pleasure to be with you this evening. I appreciate the opportunity to flip-flop with Dan, as Dan is down at our place, I guess up at our place. It's north. You go north, you go up, don't you? If you follow the map keys anyway. But I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I want to share some things with you from God's Word. Give me the Bible. That's the whole essence of the TV program that you help to support and others around East Texas area help to support. But I want to talk a little bit tonight about some things of nature. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He put all things in motion. He gave all nature to us. And we are blessed by it. Now, when we talk about things in nature, oftentimes we have developed certain terminologies. And you're all familiar with this. You know, like a group of birds, we call them a flock of birds, or a bed of ants, or a herd of cows, or a bouquet of flowers, etc. You get the drift of what I'm talking about there. But I want you to know that the scriptures often point to nature for illustration and for wisdom. Many, many times the writers were inspired to use nature things to depict a lesson that was being taught. Solomon, for example, directed the sluggard to consider the ant. He said, consider the ant and look at that. Look at her ways. Consider her ways and be wise. They don't have a guide. They don't have a ruler. They don't have an overseer. But yet they work all summer to get ready for the winter. God instilled that into them. Jesus said to look at the birds. He said to look at the flowers. Behold the fowls of the air, Jesus said, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns. But he said, your heavenly Father takes care of them. And he said, consider the lilies of the field. They grow, they don't toil, they don't have to work, they don't... He said that neither do they spin. He said, but yet Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You know, the Bible contains just all kinds of information and stories. If you like to read, there's something in the Bible for you. Maybe you like science. All things that are mentioned in the Bible that have to do with science have been proven to be true. So there's science stories, there's history stories, there's stories about geography. When you read about a place that the Bible talks about, you can mark it down. That place is there or was there. There is no conjecture, no making up things that God has allowed to be in His holy word. Maybe you like romance stories, love stories. Well, go back and read the book of Ruth, Ruth and Boaz, or read about Jacob and Rachel. Well, some of the greatest love stories that you could come up with. Or maybe you like soap operas. Well, you know, Solomon. What was it, 300 wives and 700 concubines? Or maybe David and Bathsheba? Maybe Samson and Delilah? That's some soap opera material, isn't it? Or maybe you like adventure. War stories. Boy, the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, is just chock full of them. Read in 1 and 2 Kings and in Joshua and all the battles that took place. Read about the battles of David, how he conquered thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, the scriptures teach us. Well, I want to tell you that there are some animal stories in the Bible. There's stories about foxes. One of my favorites is about bears. And I'm not going to read the story to you. If you wish, you can. It's over in 2 Kings, the second chapter, I believe, toward the end of the chapter, about verses 23, 24, 25, right along in there. And it talks about Elijah. And it talks about, or Elisha, I believe it was. Elisha, and how that as he was traveling through the country, he came across a bunch of kids, and they got to teasing him. And they said, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." And you read the story, and it talks about he called two she-bears out of the woods, and it says those she-bears came out and tear 42 of those children. Well, a little boy in Sunday school class asked about that story one time, and the teacher asked him, "What do you think the moral of that story is?" And he said, "It just wants to show how many children two bears can hold." I don't know about that. If you ask me the moral of the story, I think it's don't make fun of bald-headed preachers. That's what I think it's saying. Anyway, you know, there's actually been some scientific research done, actual, real scientific research that has been done studying geese. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Now, I can't go book, chapter, verse and show you these stories about geese. I don't believe that it's there. So you might say, "Well, why are you going to preach about it if it's not in the Bible?" Because I think the concepts that are taught by this research are biblical concepts. And they are vital to the survival of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's consider some lessons from geese. By the way, we was talking about bed of ants and bouquet of flowers and such a while ago. You know what a group of geese is called? I hear a gaggle. We'll come back to that. But let's look at some lessons we can gain from geese. Do you know geese practice synergy? Now, that's a word that we don't throw around every day, but I dare say you know what it is, especially once I tell you what I'm talking about. Synergy is defined as the interaction of elements that when they are combined, the effect that is produced is greater than the sum of them or what either one of them can do by themselves. I heard a story long ago of a father who had seven sons, and he wanted to teach them a lesson, and I think a synergy is a type of concept that he was using. He gave each one of them two sticks, and he told each one of them, "Take one of the sticks and see if you can break it." And each one of them in turn tried to break the stick. Some of them just snapped it in two, and the younger ones had to put it up on their knee and break it. But all of them were able to break the stick. Then the father said, "Now I want each one of you to take the second stick, put them all together in a bundle, and break the bundle." And you know, not one stick was broken, though they tried and they tried. And they applied all of the efforts and energies that they could to break those sticks, they were unbroken. The fact is, the research shows that when a goose flaps its wings, now, all of you have seen geese flying overhead, I'm certain. No, not in this weather. But before too long, perhaps the weather will cool and it will be time that you'll be able to hear honk, 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 honk up in the sky, and you begin to look around, and then you'll find that formation, and it's a V formation. We're all familiar with that. I'm certain that we've all seen those things. But as each goose in that formation flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird behind it. It helps the bird behind it by it flapping its wings. The one behind it doesn't have to work quite as hard. And that works right on down the line. And that's why they fly in that V formation. By flying in the V formation, the research shows that the group of geese is able to fly 71% further than one goose flying alone could do. That's synergy. That's working together so that they can go farther. Now, a lesson that you and I can gain from that is that people who share a common direction, people who have a common goal, a sense of community, can get to where they're going quicker and easier because they are traveling on the energy of each other. You know, if we try to do it all ourselves, we're going to tire out, we're going to wear out, and we're going to give out. But working together, you use my energy, I use your energy, and that together is greater than either one of us could do alone. That's the principle of synergy. Two or more agents working together to produce a result that is not obtainable by either one of them by themselves. It's kind of like nitrogen, a gas, the most common gas in the air that we breathe, and an oily substance called glycerin. Do you know if you take nitrogen and glycerin and put them together in the right combination, it's mighty powerful stuff, nitroglycerin, and it's an explosive. And it can do or produce a lot of energy that neither one of them by themselves could produce. It's kind of like the sodium and the chlorine. You know, sodium is a poisonous substance. Chlorine is a poisonous substance. But when they're put together, it makes your food taste an awful lot better, doesn't it? Sodium chloride, salt that we sprinkle on our food for flavor. Neither one of them can do that by themselves, but put together, working together, they produce a wonderful result. Now, that reasonably explains the biblical principle that we find of two by two. You go back to Mark chapter 6 and verse 7, and here's what the word says. He called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Wonder why he sent them two by two instead of one by one. You know, all 12 of them, they could have gone 12 different directions instead of 6 different directions. But the principle of synergy is that they can do more working together than any one of them could do working alone. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate us, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Not just Barnabas, not just Saul, but the two together, so that as they went on that missionary journey, they were to accomplish things that neither one of them by themselves could possibly have done. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9 said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. I wonder if we really appreciate the wisdom of flocking together. If we really appreciate the wisdom of working together and using the energy from each other. It's something that we need to be taking advantage of. Oftentimes, we just don't. Let's look at another lesson. Geese benefit from mutual edification. Now, what I mean by that, and that's revealed by the research. It's a fact. When a goose falls out of formation, in that V formation as they're flying, if a goose gets out of line, it suddenly feels the drag. It feels the resistance of being alone. It doesn't have that energy from all of the other geese. So it quickly moves back into formation. It gets back in line and takes advantage of the lifting power of the birds in the group. The lesson is, we have as much sense as God gave a goose, we're going to stay in formation. We're not going to get out of line. Or when we do get out of line, we're going to recognize it and get back in line. We're willing to accept the help of those who can help us, and we're willing to give our help to those who need help. And, you know, strong Christians appreciate the value of that. That's a biblical concept as you look at Galatians chapter 6 in verse 1 where the Apostle Paul said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Help them to get back in line. The Hebrew writer said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. And if we begin to drift off that way and get out of the formation, then we need to come back into the fold, come back into the line. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, the Hebrew writer said. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, the writer said, because we need to use the energy that is produced by the group. Now, when I asked a question a while ago, what do you call a group of geese? I didn't hear anybody say a flock, and I already said something about a flock of birds. I did hear gaggle. And you're kind of right, but you're not. Because we're talking about geese that are flying up in the sky. Now, if we're talking about geese that were in a group walking around on the ground, that's a gaggle of geese. But you know, they're not a gaggle when they're in the sky in that V formation. Actually, it's called a skein. S-K-E-I-N. Look it up if you don't believe me. And don't take anything I say just because I said it. Look it up. And if you can't look it up in the Bible, which that you can't, then get you a dictionary. Look up S-K-E-I-N, and I think you'll find that I'm telling you the truth. I don't intend to tell you anything here that's not truth. But a group of geese, as they are flying in that V formation, they're called a skein of geese. What do you call a group of Christians? Now, you all know that one, but now you're afraid to answer, aren't you? It's a church, absolutely. A group of Christians is a church. You all knew what that was. And mutual edification should be within the workings of the church. We need to be working together and edifying one another and building one another up and provoking one another to love and to good works, just like the Bible tells us. A third lesson from geese. Geese share the burden. The scientific research revealed this fact. When the lead goose gets tired in that V formation, the goose that's right up at the very front, the lead goose, when he gets tired, it will drop out of line and go back. Now, it's not leaving the formation, and it's not dropping out of the line because it's wandered off like the other one we were talking about. But it's dropping back, and someone else, another goose, is moving up to take its place. Because the lead goose, you see, is having to work harder than any other goose in the formation. And so they tire out. Perhaps you watched the Summer Olympics last summer that were held in London, I believe it was. I watched some of that, and I got to watching an event that I never had paid any attention to before, but it kind of got my attention. I forget what it was called, pace cycling, I believe was what it was called. But it was like four or five bicyclists, and they were lined up, one right behind the other, going around this track over and over. And I got to watching them, and every so often, the rider in the front, it was kind of a banked track, and the rider in the front would ride up, and the others would pass him by, and then he would just drop right into the back, and they just kept going. And after a few rounds, the one in the front would move up, the rest of them pass him by, and he would drop into the back. I thought, well, that's the same concept as what these geese do. Precisely, exactly what they're doing. So, well, the lesson from that is that we need to take turns doing the hard stuff. We need to take turns and share in the work that's to be done, because just like the geese, people are interdependent upon each other's skills. You can do some things that I can't do. Maybe I can do some things that you can't do, and someone else can do some things that neither one of us can do, and we can all work together and get a task done that would never get done if you ask me to do it. We've got to work together and share the burden. And as members of the body of Christ, each one of us is to do our part. If you look over in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, it's recorded in verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to, here it is now, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We need to be working together. Way too often, some brethren burn out because other brethren don't help out. Are you doing your part? Are you sharing the burden? Doing your part to do the work that is set forth by the local congregation here in Palestine? Or do you just depend on the same ones to do it time in and time again? Let George do it. He can do it a lot better than me. You know, that's the concept that some folks have. Well, let's move on to lesson four. God wants us to each one do our part. Geese encourage those who lead. Those who lead. Geese encourage their leaders. Now, again, that's revealed and borne out by the scientific research that was done. The geese flying in formation back in the back parts of the V formation, that's the ones that you hear honking as you hear them, and that causes you to look up in the sky and try to locate them. Honk, honk, honk. But you know what they're doing? They are honking to encourage the ones in front of them to keep up their speed. They're not honking at them saying, hey, you're going the wrong way. They're not honking at them, you know, in complaining. They're honking at them to encourage them. Boy, now there's a lesson for the church, isn't it? We need to make sure the honking that we're doing is an encouraging thing for our leaders, for our elders, and for our deacons, and for those Bible class teachers, for ministers. We need to be encouraging them and be sure that the honking we do is a productive thing. Encouragement. That needs to be our purpose. And if we're not going to encourage, then we ought not be honking. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's the words of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian church. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Paul said, let your speech be always seasoned, always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. A fifth lesson we can gain from geese. And again, borne out by the scientific research, geese care for one another. Now, this was a fact that you know, a lot of this stuff I had known for a long time, but this was something that I learned in my study of this lesson and in preparation for this lesson. I learned that geese care for one another. And in the flying formation, if one goose gets sick or gets shot by a hunter and falls to the ground, two other geese go down with it. Two other geese will follow it down to the ground to help it, to protect it, and they stay with it until it either dies or it's able to fly again. I thought that was pretty amazing. But it stays with it until it dies or until it can go again, and then they launch out either to try to catch up with the group that they missed or left, or to join another group that may be coming by. We will stand by each other in difficult times. That's what the geese do. And when we have difficult times, when we're shot down, when we're sick, We need someone that cares for us. We all have that need. This is another benefit of working together. And that's another duty of spiritual brethren, Christians. The book of Ecclesiastes, in the 4th chapter and the 9th verse and following, and I made allusion to this passage a while ago, but I'm going to read it in a little bit more fullness here. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Again, we need to stand together for the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. James said in the closing words of the book that bears his name, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. We need to be working together. We need to be caring for one another. Now, there's another fact about these geese. How many of you have ever... has any of you never seen a flock of geese flying across? Surely we've all seen that at some point in our life. And I think you would agree that every time you've looked up and you've seen that flock of geese in that V formation, one side of the V is always longer than the other one. Now that's pretty much a scientific fact. You know why that is? Well, there's no scientific explanation for it. It's just that it's kind of like, you know, there's more people sitting over here than there are over here. One side got more geese in it, that's all. That's it. No scientific explanation for that one. By instinct, God gave wisdom to these geese so that they could succeed in their flight, so that they could be successful in their migration from the cold to the warmer. By instinct, God gave that to them. By his word, by his creation, God gives us wisdom. He tells us he'll provide wisdom for us if we ask him for it. James chapter 1, I believe about the 5th verse. He provides wisdom to succeed in our spiritual journey. He tells us that we must hear this word, that we must believe what it says. He tells us that we must repent of our sins. He tells us that we must confess our faith in him as Jesus Christ, as the Son of God. He tells us that we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. He tells us that we must be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. We've got to be faithful so long as we live. We need to put this wisdom to use. And if we have the sense God gave a goose, we will. We really will. Let us learn from the nature that God has surrounded us with. Wonderful stories that are contained in his holy word and wonderful concepts that are presented by other realms of nature. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Go to the geese, my friends. Learn the lessons that God has given us in this wonderful natural resource. If you're here tonight and need to respond to the invitation, a song has been selected as an encouragement to you. We pray that if you have need to respond to this invitation, that you will take the steps that are necessary. And if we can help you with that, we will, as we stand and sing.